crystal keepers, gym lovers, and rock hounds. Welcome to There's a Rock for That. This is the show that is all about crystals, gems, and rocks of all varieties, where we will explore the folklore, metaphysical properties, and healing applications of the stone people. I'm Pterodactyl, and I welcome all of you, whether you're here to connect with the Crystal Kingdom, or discover what your rocks are about, or even sail the mystic seas to the land of dragons, where fairies greet us and unicorns gallop through magical forests to sacred stone temples. I'm so happy that you are here to share the experience. Today is a show I'm really excited about. I have a wonderful guest today, Paul Miller, who is the creator of the Revelations Oracle deck of cards. And this is a new deck that is coming out. He has a Kickstarter campaign for it. And if you look on the show description, you can see the link for that, where you can go and check it out. And, you know, other than creating this deck, he's also the owner and operator of Lotus Healing Arts Center in downtown Sacramento, California, and where he does intuitive reading, chakra balancing, and also works as a hairdresser. He's got over 20 years of experience in the metaphysical arts, and his work and studies have now culminated in the creation of this beautiful deck of cards, and I mean stunningly beautiful deck of cards. And he's created them through the medium of soul collage and channeled messages. So without further ado, why don't we let him tell you all about this? Let's go ahead and bring on Paul and welcome him to the show. All right. Paul, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, welcome.
How are you?
To There's a... Great. We're so excited to have you today on There's a Rock for That.
Thank you. That was amazing introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, you're a pretty amazing person, you know, when you look at everything that you've done. And, you know, I want to tell people, you know, the moment that I saw, the Kickstarter page for your Revelations Oracle deck, and I saw the video that you created there, and I saw the artwork of the cards, and I just thought, wow, this is a real deal. You know, so many people try to create things on Kickstarter and they don't always get fully funded. And you, I mean, you've got 11 hours left. You've already hit your mark. You did it the right way.
I did. Well, at first I didn't do it the right way. I actually had ran one previously to this and it didn't succeed, but I also didn't know what I was doing. So I took what I learned and re-manifested. I don't enjoy the word can't do, the words can't do. So I believe that anything's possible as far as manifesting. It's just a matter of rerouting and changing things up a bit. And I went out and found a community. And within that community, I found people that fell in love with the deck. So, so now it's successful. So it's good.
You know, that's really interesting because I think a lot of times people don't do that. You know, they might, you know, be hitting a wall with something that they're trying to manifest, to bring into this world. And they just, I don't know if it's fear that stops them from sort of recalibrating or what it is. I mean, what gave you the courage to do it?
I think it's faith. And I think it's having that faith and that knowing that all things are possible, all things will manifest, but it's just a matter of relearning what you need to do and changing and growing and expanding and that it'll eventually happen. I think what happens is people lose the faith and then it just kind of goes away. And through the process of it, I do too. You know, but then, you know, my spiritual self comes forward and says, no, you can't do this. You're going to move forward. You know the laws. You practice the laws. You're going to, and this is going to happen for you.
Right. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about your process in creating the deck. It's, you know, it's created through the soul collage and channeled messages. For people who don't know what soul collage is, can you tell them?
I can. Yeah. So how soul collage works is it's no different than kind of a painting, but not everybody can paint. So it's kind of a really good practice to have. You can cut it out of magazines or you can do it graphically or what have you. And you're expressing an emotion. So when I design, say, a chakra card, you know, what is the color and what is all the emotion behind it? If I was working out of the heart, what would pictures be that would resonate to the heart? And then I create the whole piece. So that's how chakra collage works. It's no different than painting. It's just a portion of yourself that you're expressing. And what would the images be that you're expressing to create the whole picture?
Wow, that makes a lot of sense when you put it that way. And mm-hmm. And it's very encouraging in a sense that, you know, not everybody, you know, believes in the talent that they have and believes in,
correct,
you know, the mm-hmm. that ability to bring things together like that. And channeled mm-hmm. messages are also a part of this. Can you talk a little bit about that? You're channeling deities?
Yes. So when I first, say the first card actually was Portal, but the first channeling was fairies. So what I did was I sat down and I said, I work with a fairy. I actually, her name is Janice, and I picked her up in Fern Canyon in Humboldt, California. And it's actually through her that I got the smell of the incense, which we can talk a little bit about later. So when I first did fairies, I said, you know, I asked them, what are your colors and what are your images? And, you know, I'd hear words, you know, they are very much about glamour and creating imagination. They're about letting go. And, you know, I'd get all the words for the writings through what they were telling me. And I would even get the colors and the images for what they wanted to create as far as their picture goes. So it was both a coupling of messages and imagery while I sat down to do the different deities. And then they actually led me to the dragons, which is still Devic world. So dragons are in there too. But it's interesting how I went from one thing to the next and it led into the next and what have you. Yeah.
You know, that is very interesting.
Go ahead.
Portal was
the first one that I did graphically, and it's perfect for the whole deck. It's the portal for the entire deck, and that came from the Ruin cards, and it deals with the quantum jump and the butterfly symbolizing change and transformation and what have you. But Portal was the first one, but I did channel the fairies for before I did the Portal card.
You know, it's kind of interesting, the idea of one entity leading you to another. In a sense, you know, does that mean? Do you think that means that they're all connected?
They're all connected through different levels, definitely. Yeah, and what I like about the deck is there all the entities are in there. You have Shiva, Buddha, Christ, Shiva. Just a little bit of everything, all the astrology, everything being like a star being or a being of light or something that an archetype, something that we have given a story to and created a manifestation of this deity or archetype, which all holds an energy just like Mother Earth does.
It's amazing. You know, the other thing that I was wondering about this is that, you know, you say in the, you know, in the description on the Kickstarter page that, you know, it's a tool. The deck is a tool designed to help us use all of our senses and bring our creations into reality. So would you say this is for like an awakening and manifestation? And do you see other uses for it, the deck as well?
It's a manifestation of myself. And I will say that myself and what I teach is how to manifest your reality and to create through vision. So my intention is to give people vision and to know that whatever they see in their vision is a co-creational experience with God, and that all can be manifested. I do it in my real life. My home, my gardens. It's like, so if you had a blank canvas, how would you paint your reality and how would you see it? That's how it works. And the more you fall into the faith of that and the more you believe it, the easier it is to do. And then the more your dreams become your realities.
And that's an interesting point. You know, what about divination? Is this a deck, you know, conducive for using it for divination purposes, like readings for others, that kind of stuff too?
Yeah. What I'm hoping with the deck is that it'll be for self-use and self-divination, mm-hmm. and not necessarily for, it's great for to read for others. I read for others, but I really feel like this deck, it's kind of when I bought my first Doreen Virtue deck 20 years ago when she did the angel cards, I was like, wow, mm-hmm. this is something for me, something that's personal mm-hmm. to me. And I'm hoping that people are going to find that very personal for themselves and find that it's also a deck for themselves, but they can use it on, you know, for their readings towards others and what have you. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So it has a lot of different... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, meaning. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it sounds like it has a lot of different uses in that. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about in connection to this is that when I looked at your Kickstarter campaign, and for everybody listening, you know, they can see the link to that and go check it out. You've got 11 hours left, so get over there. But I noticed you also have a certification course, kind of
yes.
not unlike James Wanlis does with his Voyager card.
Correct.
And can you yeah. talk a little bit about that and how
sure.
people can sign up for it?
Okay, so first I'll go into a little bit of James Wanlis. A couple, mm-hmm. 14 years ago, I lived with some shamans, and they actually had lived with him lived at his home while he was traveling, because he travels everywhere. And they said, you got to see this deck. And they brought it out, and it was the most beautiful thing I ever seen. Little did I know 14 years later that was going to be my inspiration. And here I am, you know, creating
wow.
the deck through what he's given me over the years. What was it? I'm sorry, go back to the
that
question.
That was amazing. Oh, it's just about the certification course that
certification.
Goes with it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the certification course, it's going to be a two-day training, and it'll go up by June 2016 of next year online. And I believe I'm going to have people in the room while we record it, and people will be able to get certified. We'll go through each card, the card meaning, where it came from, where the inspiration came from, where it was channeled from, and then we're going to also have where, like, the second day will be where the people are working on each other, and actually how I give a reading and what I was told from Spirit on how to give a reading. And this is actually what I was told is channeled, and it's in the book. And the channel is... when giving any reading with tarot or oracle, over time we set up what those symbols mean to us.
Mm-hmm.
You tell yourself your own story. So you set it up with spirits, like a contract. This symbol means this. This number means this. So when you throw that card out, they know the card's coming, and they know the information to give you based on that card versus maybe what you're learning out of a book. You set up the process. You set up what it means. It coincides with your psyche, your emotional state, and that's how you really give a good reading. So a lot of people tend to go outside themselves and tell me how to do a reading, tell me how it
mm-hmm.
you know, should be or what I should say, so on and so forth. It's all inside you, and you set that up. You build the contracts.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So that'll
you
be
know,
the certification.
And that's really wonderful to, you know, give people an opportunity to really get like an insight and learn from the creator. I wish more people did that, because a lot of times the little book isn't enough, you know.
No. Yeah, and I couldn't put it. I mean, I did a 10-minute video, which got edited down to a 6-minute video. Kickstarter said I should have a 3-minute video, but I just couldn't do it. So it's still at 6 minutes. And, you know, there's so much in me. I'm like, I got to make a movie, you know. So I put, you know, quite a bit of knowledge in the book, but there's still a lot more in me that needs to come out. So hopefully I can deliver quite a bit of that in the class.
Wow. Well, and that video is just stellar. It is so professionally done. I was really kind of surprised. I'm like, gosh, you know, I swear this guy doesn't live in Sacramento. You'd think he lived in Hollywood. You know,
that was filmed in my home. Yeah.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I have kind of a Tuscan, you know, feel to my home. It looks like I'm out on a winery, and I love my garden. So a lot of it was filmed out in the gardens, and I had wonderful friends that came over and wanted to participate and be a part of the video. But, you know, like when I do the video, my husband Michael always says, you're so, you know, out there, which is kind of the crystal people, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm creating, I'm in my visional space. I'm like, who do you think blocks all these scenes and sets up the sets? And then, you know, even with my editors or my graphic design people or the people editing the video, I'm right there next to them during the entire process. I don't just hand my work over to them and say, this is what I'm looking for. I want to be part of the whole creational process.
And that's really the way to do it. You know, there's too many people that just are like, oh, just do whatever, and then they're not, you know, surprisingly, they're usually not satisfied with the end result. But you know, two things really stood out to me in when I watched that video, and I've watched it a few times. One, wow, the crystals that you have in it, oh my gosh.
I almost sent you a picture of my crystal collection.
Yes, please do. You know, it's so funny because it's like anybody listening, you know, we're all big, you know, gym lovers and rock hounds and crystal keepers over mm-hmm. here. And you've got to watch this video, not just to see this deck and just, you know, how well done the video is, but also the crystals in it. You have this giant Merkaba crystal that's gorgeous. Can you talk about the role the crystals have maybe played in this creation?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So that Merkaba actually sits in my front room in the middle because it's got 12 points. So to me, I can see the light going out from every single corner, and we have an open concept house, so it just lights up the entire, you know, space. Mm-hmm. You know, my largest crystal is a 250-pound rose quartz Buddha, you know.
Wow.
But then I have my small crystal that's about an inch big, and within that there's worlds within worlds within worlds, right? Bigger isn't always better as far as crystals go. But one of my latest things that I've been doing is, and I use my cards during this too, so during full moon and new moon, I always do mm-hmm. some sort of altar on my kitchen table. So what I've mm-hmm. recently been getting into is doing the crystal grid systems. I've really been enjoying that. I did a little bit of it back in the day, but for whatever reason now with the sacred geometry and learning that and consciously shifting, I'm enjoying using that in my space and my altar and using the crystals and the cards as a part of that. So, you know, I have a 6-foot by 12-foot table. Usually my altars for a couple of days take up the entire table. And I enjoy the process of doing it. It makes me feel good. And crystals make me feel good. And within the deck, there is the crystal people, which you've noticed, I'm sure.
Yes, I wanted to ask about that next. Tell us about that card. What was the channeling like for that card?
Okay, so there's crystal people, and say there's also the tree spirits and so on and so forth. I believe that there is sentient beings within crystals, not all crystals, but quite a bit mm-hmm. of crystals. I believe that we can actually incarnate into different natural forms. We have obviously, you know, incarnated into a biological body, right? And so mm-hmm. why wouldn't we have been those elements? Why wouldn't we have been fire and water and, you know, we make up the earth. We are part of the earth. We're obviously incarnating into biological bodies that are having a symbiotic experience with the earth, right?
Yeah.
So I do believe in crystal people. I believe I've been a crystal before. You know, we, you know, as a portion of God, we have, you know, 8, 9, 10 billion spirits here. Everybody mm-hmm. has been a part of the process over the billions of years to create the different minerals. And we're full of minerals, right? So that's why we connect. Yeah, so that's why we connect to crystals. We pull those minerals into our aura field, and they combine with us, and whatever energy healing we need, whether it's the calcite for the solar plexus and the anxiety, or the to be expressive and have the throat chakra and the lapis, those are all natural healing elements that we can all use.
You're speaking my language here.
Right.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to share this. I just made a little key point of one of the notes I wanted to kind of touch on. It's interesting that I'm touching on it. And I just found this through a friend in the last year. Have you ever heard of shungite?
Yes.
Yes.
A nice piece of shungite.
Right. Yeah, so the shungite, you know, whenever I have energy blocks, it's one of the latest things that I'm using. One of my first crystals was a Shiva Lingam. But the shungite, I've been using it in my water because it balances the harmonics in it. And then throughout the house, wherever my electronics are and so on and so forth, I have it placed. And then even in my baths, when I'm having, when my energy's not flowing or I feel a blockage in my body, I've been putting the shungite in there. Now, I don't know if you knew this or not, if you read up on it, but shungite, they actually put in the paint of the stealth bomber. Did you know about that?
No, I didn't know about the stealth bomber. Yeah. I knew the connection to water and purifying it.
Correct. Yes, exactly. And it does do that. And then they actually ground it up, put it in the paint of the stealth bomber because it blocks any radar and it dissipates the radar. So that's what they also use to keep it concealed from going on the radar. So I was like, well, if it can do that for the stealth bomber, I'm going to put it around all my electronics in the house.
EMF protection, right? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And then I sleep with one usually near my bed, but, you know, I do transfer some stuff out. But usually, and yeah, stays next to my bed. And I have another decanter that I use that has a flower of life that's made of gold in the base of it. And I put the shungite in the water too. So it completely harmonizes the water after 4 hours. And that's usually what I drink.
Wow. You just gave us a whole bunch of wonderful ideas about shungite, really. And it's kind of amazing. And I look at, you know, the deck that you've created and you know, you know, what your intention is, you know, to help people through that. And, you know, I said there were two things that way stood out to me, you know, besides how beautiful the cards are watching that video. And the other thing was, is your friends that are in it. I kept thinking, like, did he do their hair? You know,
well, actually, two of them have been they're my friends from a long time ago, which was kind of cool. They're actually friends from the past that I don't see so much. And I was like, you know, come over and have this opportunity and we can see each other and have some fun. Two of them are hairdressers. Three of them are hairdressers.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, because everybody had great hair. And then I also thought, like, you know, now that's something that's actually, you know, you might think of it as being separate, but it's really connected to the other work that you do because it's transformative and it really, you know,
you can change
women
people's lives with it. You can change people's lives with a haircut and a color. And I mean, talk about shift energy, right? You really do. Even though it's not physical part, you know, with the head wash. And when I first started reading, doing all my psychic work and intuitive reading, I was reading my clients through the chair is how it started. When I was I've been doing this since I was 19. So I just started getting feelings, so on and so forth. And I would, you know, I would channel while I did their haircut. I would go out a body and I'm doing their haircut and they'd end up with a great haircut and a good color. But sometimes the channeling can be very deep and extensive. And I still do it to this day. Even clients that aren't opened up spiritually, I can still get the messages that they need to hear without even realizing what I'm doing, whether they're Christian-based or Mormon-based or what have you. And I have clients of all different faiths, and they actually know what I do, and they believe in what I do because they believe in me. But working with that crown chakra and pulling all that off while you go through the hair and do the color and all that, at the end of the day, they feel beautiful when they leave. So it is, and I make good money at it. So between the healing and doing hair, I do pretty well. And I get to work with a lot of people, so that's good.
And you're the healing hairdresser. I love that.
Right. You know, one thing that is cool, you know, because, I mean, at my last place, I had, you know, three yoga teachers, two massage therapists, a complete metaphysical store. I did have, you know, hair and makeup as well there. And, you know, and I do a lot of energy and psychic work, but for whatever reason, I'm still known as Paul is the intuitive and he's the hairdresser, you know, and so that's just stuck. That's who I am. And that's, you know, fine. Yeah.
Well, it's so, you know, it's so important. I always, you know, it, like to me, you know, I have like really, really, I've always had very, very thick, sort of unruly hair. And, you know, I swear, you know, you go through hairdressers through your life and you think back on the ones who really understood your hair, the ones who really
understood you. Yeah,
exactly. And they're some of the most important people in our lives. You know, it's,
well,
it,
I was just
it's
telling
kind of
a friend
funny.
The other day that we can see our hairdresser more than some of our best friends, right?
Absolutely.
So you have a very, and just like a bartender, even more so, or a psychologist, you tell your hairdresser everything.
Oh,
your hairdresser
yeah.
knows more about you than most if you have a close personal relationship, which I do with most of my clients. And, yeah, it's a very personal relationship, definitely.
Oh, my gosh, your hairdresser knows everything about everybody is what I've noticed.
Yeah. Well, and even when my clients come in, they're like, I'll say exactly what they're thinking as far as their hair goes. And
yeah.
They look at me strange. I'm like, you just got to talk to the hair. The hair knows what it wants
hair.
To do. Exactly. Talk to the hair.
I love that. And, you know, it's really kind of a – interesting thing here that you know, your Kickstarter campaign for the Revelations mm-hmm. Oracle has not even, you know, completely run out yet. Like I said, folks, there's about 11 hours left on this. Were you surprised, you know, in a sense that you got the funding you needed that quickly?
Yeah, well, there was relief when I fund. There's relief when I funded. It, you
mm-hmm.
know, because everything's set up and ready to go. So there's a lot of relief when I funded. You know, I got up at 5 o'clock this morning, and the whole card deck is being printed overseas. Actually, where Doreen Virtue gets her printing done, I tracked that down.
Wow.
I was like, I want some good stuff. Where's she go?
Yeah.
And I tracked that down and people that work with her. And, you know, I spent 4 hours with my graphic guy in China because I didn't think that the front of the card was exactly perfectly proportionate. So, like, my perfection for the deck and the love for it, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, when this goes out to so many people, it's got to be, you know, right and good and great. And at one point, you got to learn just to let go of it. You know, there's always addition too. But,
right.
I 2,400 hours this whole project is taken on top of my regular, you know, work schedule too. And, I just have a lot of dedication and passion towards it. And it's about, to me, we all live
mm-hmm.
with pain, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And if I could give somebody a tool to live day to day with a little bit less pain in their life and a little bit more faith and a little bit more possibility, then that's my accomplishment with the deck and getting it out to people. So, beyond the deck, I have a few little more tricks up my sleeve. So,
well, I was going to ask, you know, this is such a, you know, I mean, what a big success this is already. And, you know, the decks haven't even, you know, gotten into the hands of everybody yet. And already, you know, an amazing success. What would be the next step? What can we expect to see coming from the creative mind of Paul Miller?
Okay. So, in the next 2 months, I have the website going up, which will have
mm-hmm.
different videos on how to meditate, the I Am, that's in the book, which we could touch a little bit on a little bit later if you want to. And then
mm-hmm.
I have the phone app being built, which everybody who bought the deck is getting the phone app. So you'll have all the cards on your cell phone. You can do a one card for the day, or you can do a three card for the week, a past, present, and future. It's very pretty. The design is very good. And then after that, I have the incense that I've created. That's also going to be for sale. And that's based on what I channeled from the fairies and the scents that I channeled from the fairies. I'm also working on creating a male-female scent that goes with it. So, and not male-female,
mm-hmm.
I should say masculine, because the masculine is really nice and the feminine is good. And both can wear it. And all that separates it is actually one pure essential oil. And then after that, I have a book that's halfway done, which I originally was doing. And then I got the stop, hold everything. This card deck's coming through first. And so I need to actually get that finished. And that actually table book, it'll have an I Am CD in the back of it. There's a whole section on yoga, which is already done. There's a whole section on gems and minerals, astrology, numerology, the I Am, creation, beyond Earth, which is, you know, heaven and space, and some meditations that will also be on the CD with the I Am. And so all that's in the works. A lot of it's written already, but it's going to be very graphically orientated, like the cards. So it's like a coffee table piece. So when friends come over, it's like, ooh, this book looks cool. What is it? And it's an interactive book that they can just play with.
Wow.
So that's next.
How do you keep up with yourself? I mean, it's like what you're describing to me seems like there must have been like a moment when the floodgates just opened up.
I do have a family. So I have a husband and I also have a daughter that, and she just went off to college. And, you know, so, and then the shop, you know, the business, and then, of course, the house. And the floodgates that came open, because I started creating the book when I created The Blue Door, which was my first healing art center. And right before that, I experienced a murder-suicide, which the children had found their parents and came and got me. We were their next-door neighbors, and I ran over. And I kind of knew what was happening. The neighbor wouldn't go in the house. I ran in, you know, seeing what happened, so on and so forth. And she was a friend of mine. And actually, I would sneak off without my mother knowing when I was really young. And we'd go visit psychics and stuff over in Sacramento. So she's kind of like my first spiritual friend. And she did tell me how she was going to die. She said, I'm going to be shot, Paul. I said, well, nobody ever gets shot. That's, you know, a little bit crazy. And she ended up being shot by her husband. You know, and my question is where it came was the who am I and why am I here? And not, but maybe 6 months after that, I went and lived with the shamans. And there comes my question, right? Who am I? Why am I here? And that was a very difficult thing for me to answer. And and when you take away, and I said this to you before, you take away your name, the home that you live in, the clothes that you wear, the job that you have, who are you at the core? And so and that's where the whole I am process came from. And then the I am, and it was building myself up and building up who I was. And then I created the I am process out of that. And I think it, like I said, it's just now hitting. And that is, you know, the base of me is I am love. I am grateful. I am present. I am multidimensional. I am profound. You know, I can rattle them off now. There's many of them. And there's actually an I am for each individual card, but that's where the I am came from, I guess, out of that whole scenario that I experienced.
And I think giving
people a way out. Yeah, giving people a way out. This isn't the way to go. Yes, life is this and that and the other, and you take out your, you know, wife and take out yourself, and that's all you had to live for. There's so much life to live for, right? And there's so much experiences. And then how can I give some, what tool can I give to get people out of their depression or where they're at financially or where their emotions are? Well, it's that powerful I am. You program yourself. You tell yourself who you are, and you get yourself out of where you are but through that process. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And the thing that I'll tell you, we have some interesting parallels in our life, but you know, the thing that, you know, comes to mind as you tell that story is that in a way your friend, you know, through this tragedy gave you such a beautiful gift, you know.
Yes. And then years later, you know, I didn't really cry. I knew the process, and I was there when I did lead her over. You know, years later, her kids contacted me. And I haven't talked to him in 14 years. And that's when the floodgates opened and the emotion came pouring out. You know, I thought I was great and good with it. And I did handle it, you know, wonderful at the time. But it was a great thing to see their lives and where they are at now. So that was kind of one of the wonderful, many great things that came out of that tragedy. And many incredible things do come out of tragedy. The Shiva, right?
Yeah. You know, that's the part we never talk about. You know, as a society, you know, when tragedy happens, you know, we tend to, and I've never understood this, why we tend to focus on the, you know, on the trauma of it instead of, you know, looking at the opening up that occurs for so many
sure.
people.
Today, somebody, knocked on my door and handed me a pamphlet and said, mm-hmm. Here, you need this pamphlet. We live in a horrible world. And I said, really? Mm. I thought we lived in a beautiful one. Mm. And she goes, well, there's this and that and the other and the tragedy. And it's all how you see it. I know those things exist, and I'm doing my best to change them, but I choose to live in a beautiful world and create a beautiful world around me. That's the world that I live in. And
yeah.
don't get me wrong, I understand that there's the existential of it, but I have no control over that. What I do have control
yeah.
over is me and what I can manifest of peace and harmony and joy and all those things within the world. That's the only thing I have control over.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put. And, also, you talked a bit about the I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is included in the cards. Can you explain, the way in which it's included in the Revelations Oracle?
Yes, yeah. So in the book, and I actually, it's a process that I teach with different clients that I have, and mm-hmm. I actually have them write it down, and it's usually a very difficult process at first. But as you develop it, it actually gets easier. And when I walk my dog, I actually use it on myself and develop it. And so you have the card, and then you have three keywords for each card. And then follows that is the paragraph. And then down at the bottom of the paragraph is the I am. And one day I was just cleaning my house, and I was just hearing all these I am. So I was writing them down. I wrote down 79 different I ams. And I knew they were going to go in the book that I was writing for the whole I am section, and that's good. And when I didn't fund, I was like, something with the first Kickstarter, I was like, something mm-hmm. more besides the community stuff is wrong here. And then I heard, this has to go out now. The I ams have to go in the book. So I was like, okay. So then I sat down with the book, and then I gave an I am to each card that best fit it.
Wow.
The horse, which is part of the animal totem, I am supported, right? And
mm.
a horse mm-hmm. supports the traveler. A horse support. You hear mm-hmm. of kids that are disabled that are going on the horse because the horse emotionally supports the child.
Yeah.
And allows the child to grow. So support, so each card has that depth of thought to it when I gave the I am to the card. Yeah.
Wow.
So
that is so cool.
So that's what
and
that is.
And really kind of, there's so many things that are so unique about this, I guess this is the overall project of this, and not only the cards themselves and how they came into being and what's included in the messages and stuff, but also, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, incense? What?
Mm-hmm.
Are you an incense maker on top of this?
So the incense, okay. The incense thing came because originally 20 years ago, I was a fragrance manager. And when I was 17 years old, I became a fragrance manager, like at a Gottschalk's or it's kind of like a Dillard's on the East Coast or what have you. And
mm-hmm.
When I was 17, they were sending me to Chanel, Ralph Lauren, Calvin Klein, Lagerfeld, all these different designers and
wow.
companies. And then for 2 days, they train you on the different notes, the base note, the middle note, the top note, and the whole marketing behind the project and so on and so forth. So, and I know where I'm going with this too. So I knew how to develop the scent. I wanted to develop the scent, and that's where the channeling from the fairies came in with the scent. Each individual smell, which I believe there's 12 of them, are within the scent that they gave me, and then I layered it according to creating the smell. So that's where the incense, and I just wanted that one more. So we got the visual, right? We got the cards, we got the emotional, and we got the intuitive. And so what I just wanted one more layer, and the scent is such a key thing. So I thought, well, while they're doing readings or just getting the deck, what a wonderful thing to be able to open up the box and have that smell hit them. And it's
mm-hmm.
very ethereal, and it's got there's a secret ingredient in it, but it will remind you of the redwoods. So let's put it that way.
Oh, wow.
So it's my secret
wow.
ingredient. So that's where the scent came from.
And that's remarkable. And it's interesting too, this idea of scents and incense. I mean, it makes sense. We're using all the different versions of the word. that it would be connected, that this would come through the fairies. You know? So there is this connection between...
When I put the fragrance on, actually, and I walked into my into the shop, and one of my reps came in, and I said, here, smell this and tell me what you think, because I've been trying it out on everybody. And she says, that reminds me of my mother's scent. That it smells like my mom, who had passed away. And she goes, she always called it the scent of the fairies. And I looked at her half crazy, and she goes, what? I said, that's where I got it from. And she has a, for whatever reason, and it's part of my creation, everybody that I run into and come in contact with actually has some, you know, spiritual depth to her, and she has a lot. So we just connected right away. And so that's probably why she gave me that information without realizing she was giving it to me. So it was kind of nice synchronistic experience.
It really is. I mean, it seems like, you know, synchronicity is kind of like, you know, a key word here.
Which you had said earlier.
Yeah.
And the synchronicity is in the deck. And I was I was thinking to myself, speaking of emotional quads, how would you produce synchronicity, right? Synchronicity is kind of a spiritual experience that it's almost like a deja vu. It's these moments leading up to the grand moment of the aha moment, right?
Right.
And so I was driving down the freeway one day going over some wetlands, and I see all these birds moving together, these blackbirds. And, you know, they're not talking to each other, going, hey, let's move this way. Oh, hey, let's move that way. They're moving, they're having a synchronistic experience. So what other kind of animals, the herding animals, herds are having a synchronistic experience with each other, a harmonizing experience. So I use those within the synchronicity card to create that movement and flow and the feeling of, togetherness.
Yeah, because and that's interesting because I think I always look at synchronicity as a great, it's, to me, it's always sort of a message or a sign, you know, that we are literally in sync.
Right on track. Right on track.
Exactly.
I've been having them all month. Yeah, right on track.
Yeah, we're in that flow. And so those are wonderful ways to kind of depict what, you know, a lot of times, I think, you know, for some people, it's kind of an abstract concept.
But it really does exist. And the difference is having awareness to see it and having the consciousness to see it. And the more you expand your consciousness, the more you see it. I mean, most people see it once a month, twice a month. I mean, you can see it 7 times, 8 times in a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you're really working with synchronicity and choosing and saying, and I'm going to go into this just for a second, is the I want a teacher, right? Mm-hmm. I want to have synchronistic experiences. I want to experience crystals, you know, by giving the I want and saying that this is what I desire, it manifests for you. So to fall into that, you know, so if you want more I want more synchronistic experiences, I want to experience this, and then reality follows, and you'll get what you ask for. And it's just a matter of that.
Yeah, and I definitely, you know, have seen that, you know, work in that way, I know, in my life and in other people's as well. You know, I think some people listening to this and if they go over to your Kickstarter page and they see that, you know, how successful you are with this, what advice would you give to someone who's thinking about creating a deck through Kickstarter? Like what could you pass on?
That's a good one. Okay, because I actually got contacted from, she could be listening to the show just recently, and I've been contacted from people everywhere, and I've, anybody who's tried to get a hold of me, I've spoken with either on the phone or through texting or Facebook, and she said, let's do a trade, I'll teach you how to social network, and you teach me how to do a Kickstarter. Kickstarter is a fabulous platform, and the fact that you don't need a CEO to tell you if your work is good. You do not need a publisher to say, okay, now you're allowed to be published. The crowd tells you if your work is good or not. The crowd says, which is good, right? You want information from the people, not, exactly. And so say somebody is going to look for a publisher, just to have that crowdfunding for the crowd to say, hey, this is good, this is good work. It's going to make it easier to find your publisher or what have you. There is a learning curve to it. I think that the more you educate, there's Forbes writings on Kickstarter and what have you. I'm actually glad I went in and failed the first time because it told me exactly what I needed to do, and I made those changes, and then I knew it was going to become a success. So go out and fail. You'll do really well the next time. So that's my advice. That's pretty good advice.
Well, it is, because so many people, I think, don't even try because they're afraid to fail. And you're saying, look, failing is sometimes our greatest teacher,
So you can say to yourself, things never turn out exactly the way I see them, okay? Or you can say to yourself, things always turn out 10 times better than what I had anticipated. It's your story, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And in my head, whether it's my home or business or my relationships, everything, and I have a pretty good vision, everything turns out 10 times better, really does, than what I really envisioned it to be.
Yeah. And that's something that, I think sometimes, that kind of attitude is either formed earlier in life or, ends up being the result of reprogramming, kind of
I'm
the opposite.
That's the result of struggle.
Yeah,
that's
right?
That's the result of, like I said, failing and growing and listening and awareness and consciously moving and at the end of the day wanting to help others and co-create with others.
The other thing I was kind of thinking about, you were talking about how, doing Kickstarter, you get feedback, from the crowd, when you do crowdfunding.
Yeah.
I was wondering, did you get or do you get feedback from the deities and the beings that you channel once you completed the deck and kind of had it all together? Did you get any feedback from them, like any sort of thumbs up from the spirit world?
I think I get a thumbs up in what I've created from the people that are saying, I really like this. I really connect to this. Even though I don't connect to something, there's something within somebody else's heart that connects to one of the cards. I mean, I connect with every one of the cards, some more than others. And I'm like, well, that wasn't one of my favorites. And somebody goes, oh my God, I just love that one. And I'm like, awesome. So that's perfect. And that deity is speaking to them. That archetype is speaking to them. There's something within that picture or those words that is calling that person. So they do have an influence there. Mostly what I hear is from my guides, and it's usually giving me information and so on and so forth. And even all the way up to this point, the project's already funded. And I'm still fine-tuning everything because, like I said, I just want it to be really good. And I listen to spirit constantly. And when I hear something or I see something, I don't edit anything I hear. I don't edit anything I see. I just trust. Sometimes I'm moving around the house and I'm working on a project. I'm about to do photography and all this stuff's happening. I'm moving furniture around. And my husband's going, oh, my God, what are you doing? I was like, I don't question it. I just do it. And I just do what I see and I get out of the way and then it manifests. And he's like, well, okay. And then, I show him the work and he's like, oh, my God, this is so beautiful. And he starts, tears come down his face and I'm so proud of you and blah, blah. So I don't question it. I just do what I see and do what I hear. And I constantly listen. It's all, as long as it's light, love, positive, peace, and it's healing people, then it's good and great. Yes.
Well, yeah, and it's an interesting thing too, because what you're describing, it sounds like you stay in contact, you stay in this flow, you're constantly listening, as you said, and I noticed that what you see in the metaphysical community is a lot of people are a lot of times talking about ways to shut it off. Because they're getting drained or things like that.
Sure.
That doesn't seem to be...
It's their story. It's the story that they're telling themselves. And I used to get drained. And I used to get tired. And, it is a process, and it does take years. And it takes years to grow that nice psychic shield and also to learn to say no. which is a very spiritual world. That's my spiritual world. That's my spiritual word for 2016 is no.
No.
And I think it's a very no. And I think it's a very lovely spiritual word.
I love that.
Yeah. And yeah, and you can get, you know, tired and so on and so forth. Yeah, I get it. But over the years, you just learn to create a shield, and it works.
Yeah. Well, that's a great thing, you know, for you to share with people, because that's something I do see a lot of times, and you know, I just think like, wow, okay, there's something different here. There's something that, you know, maybe they've created that in their mind, kind of like you said, that's their story.
Mm-hmm. And everybody creates in their mind, and they say, well, how do I get it out? Right?
Mm, yeah, exactly.
Yes, and it's like in our heads we live in this great world, and it is great, and it's beautiful, and it does exist. Everything exists in the unmanifest, and it's just a matter of bringing it down from the unmanifest into the manifest. One of the best ways for doing that is writing it out, drawing it out, sketching it out, and then putting one foot in front of the other and taking baby steps. We want to manifest it all at one time, and here it is, and this is, I'm going to set it up, and it's going to take me 6 weeks, and it's all going to come out. No. It's little bits at a time, and it's putting the pieces together. It's like making a jigsaw puzzle,
right?
And it does take time, but all that spirit cares about is you taking small little baby steps to help manifest it, and they'll guide you one foot in front of the other to get it created. But bringing it from the mental plane to the physical plane, there's no better power than the power of the pen. Write it out. Write out what you want. Write out what you see. And that's a really good way to bring it from the mental or the spiritual down into the physical, besides saying it.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense, because just having it written down, you've already have a physical manifestation.
And that's, wow. And that's the difference. So even verbally saying it, to me, words are a little bit more spirit. They deal with air and oxygen and a little bit of vocal cords. But writing it down is very powerful versus speaking it verbally. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you think that...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just wondering, you know,
question.
After all of this, do you think there's another deck that's going to come out from you?
That's a good question, because what I'm kind of seeing, the animal totem card, I got told one card is going to be different than the rest of the cards. I didn't know which one it was, and it's actually the animal totem card. There's on the, it's the scene is the Kilimanjaro, and it has 18 different animals in it. You know, not all from the Kilimanjaro. There's bear and deer and cougar, along with elephant and all that. But you know, what I saw for that, and I just didn't want to do it here, that's based on the law of attraction. So you find out, it's like the old Highlights magazine. You go in and you pick out your animal, and then there's 18 writings for each animal within the book. So there could, so the possibility is to expand the ruins, to expand the animal totems, and to do some different, and even expanding the Devic world, which I only have dragon and fairies, but to bring out the gnomes and sprites and so on and so forth. So I have some ideas that are kind of coming to me that I might make an extension of the deck, which would be kind of cool. And I've had some ideas for some I Am cards, but what I didn't want to follow traditional tarot. There's already a lot of traditional tarot out there.
Oh, yeah.
And beautiful artists, incredible artists.
Yeah.
But I wanted something that broke outside the boxes a little bit. You know, James Wandless did it with his tarot deck. You know, you have crystals instead of, you know, swords, and worlds instead of pinnacles, and so on and so forth. And so that's what I did with this deck. So it's a little more oracle. And I just want to give extensions of what I've learned. So I might expand on the deck, but not produce, say, a tarot deck or what have you. Those are just kind of the images and thoughts that I'm, you know, this process is and I can see myself for 20 years, you know, working this and traveling and teaching and so on and so forth, and bringing forth the book. And so I got some work to do.
Yeah, because, you know, that's the thing, you know, as I look over the images of the cards, it just feels like this isn't the only thing of this nature that you're going to do.
Yeah. It's complete in itself. I think it's going to expand a little bit. And where I was going to get the book done first, and then the cards were an extension of the book. So maybe that's kind of what it is with the book coming forward. Hopefully in the next 2 years it'll be done. Half of it's already done. I love crystals as much as you do, so I can't. The second part of the whole book is the crystal section.
Yay! I'm so excited for this stuff. It's amazing, you know. And I'm happy to, be very vocal about letting people know. You know, this is the only, so far, the only Kickstarter campaign I've ever actually supported and pledged to. You know, because it's
thank you. Yeah, and people found it, and the right people found it, and the right people are still finding it. And once the Kickstarter is over, the right people are still going to be resonating to the, you know, card deck wherever it, however it gets to them. It'll get to the people it needs to.
And how do people get in contact with you if they want to either sign up for a class or get a reading, or how do they find you?
Okay, so through Facebook, you can contact me. It's Paul Miller, and that's my personal Facebook page. I do have one under Revelations Oracle Cards, which is more of my business page. And then I usually book everybody for my readings and chakra balancing and what have you through my personal phone number. But what's going to be going up in the next 4 weeks is a whole new RevelationsOracleCards.com, and that's going to have videos on it and all the cards. The incense are going to be on there, and then some more merchandise that I used to do. I have a metaphysical store, so I'm going to be bringing more merchandise onto there. And then, so through both of those mediums, and the Facebooking is great. People can contact me and message me if they have any questions about the card deck, and I'd get right back to them personally. At this point, I can do that. I'd like to get to the point where I'm selling millions of copies all over the world, and then that might have to change a bit. But for now, I like talking with everybody and maybe people hearing their stories. And when they get the decks, that's going to be the great part for me, because I can't wait to see them on social media. And I go into like a tarot community and somebody's going, oh my gosh, look at the new deck I love, and this is my favorite card. And those are the little things that I'm looking forward to from people.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. It's like it's a revolution, this Revelations Oracle.
Yeah. And the Revelations name, you know, there's the stigma of the Bible to it.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Well, originally it was going to be called The Key. And somebody wrote a book called The Key, and I was like, so I made that more of my symbol, is the keyhole and the key. And I kept on just hearing Revelations. And I was, younger, I was obsessed with Revelations. And it's so dark, and I'm like, okay, let's create something positive. We'll call it Revelations, and it'll be, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, right? So this is the new heaven and the new earth, and we're a revelation unto ourselves, and we don't have to go down the road that everybody's told us with apocalypse and destruction and so on and so forth. We are the creators. We are co-creators with God, and we choose the way we want our consciousness and reality to move forward, and that's light and love, right?
It's almost like reveling, in a sense, in these things, and the idea of things that are revealed rather than the apocalyptic vision that is often associated with that, or the Beatles song,
which one the Beatles song? What is it?
Well, it brings up to mind the Beatles song, because Revolution number 9, I saw something the other day of somebody equating that to Book of Revelations, and I was like, I don't know, but maybe. I could see that maybe.
Well, you have a lot of people using the word revolution. You have Madonna saying, I want to start the revolution of love, and so let's have a revolution, but let's make it of love, right? And of light and like of peace, and not a revolution of war and destruction and so on and forth. You know, change our story once again. Yeah.
Exactly. Let's co-create instead of hide in the corner, wait for the end.
Right. Exactly. I see a beautiful earth, and a beautiful place to live, and wonderful people to be a part of that with. So That's me too. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You're sticking to it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. This has just been a wonderful for of you to come on the show today and share all of this with us and everybody listening. Remember to go to his Kickstarter campaign, kickstarter.com/projects/revelations mm-hmm.
Find me on Facebook.
Yes, yeah. And look for him on Facebook.
Under Paul Miller.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful of, you know, all of these different aspects that go along with this deck. I look forward to the incense and to working with the deck. And I'm sure I'll be one of those ones sharing a video of what my favorite card is.
That'd be good. And hopefully I get to come back on in another couple months or year or so with some new stories, yes?
Oh, absolutely. You have to come back with
that.
Everything that you're doing. You could come on probably every couple months and tell us what the next creation is.
Cool. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Paul.
It's very good to meet you, and it's very nice of you to reach out to me.
Oh, absolutely. How could I resist?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. You take care.
Have a good one. Okay.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Wasn't that amazing? I can't believe how many splendid things are happening with this deck. We're going to take a short break right now and hear a few messages from our network. And when we come back, we'll be talking about this week's featured stone, which is Alexandrite. And you'll see how this connects to the interview we just did, because it is really a mini splintered stone as well. We'll be right back, so just hang on.
Schedule your reading with one of the psychics at Attune. PsychicsAtTune.com. Have you always wanted to create your own tarot or oracle deck but thought you needed to be a graphic artist? Self-published decks are really hot right now, and I could show you how to do this. No Photoshop required. Contact me, Mary Nail, at marynail@attunemagazine.com.
www.theresarockforthat.com. Visit the website where there's a stone for that, an idea for that, a story about that, and even a reading with solutions for that, because, well, we just happen to rock like that. Need to relax? Or raise your vibration? Want to know how gems, crystals, and rocks can enhance your life? Get a crystal consultation. For entertainment purposes only, crystal consultations do not in any way replace treatment by licensed healthcare professionals. Come explore the wonders of the Crystal Kingdom at www.theresarockforthat.com.
Welcome to Attune Magazine Radio.
Well, welcome back. You are listening to There's a Rock for That on the Attune Magazine Radio Network. And we just had a wonderful chance to talk to the creator of the Revelations Oracle deck that is having a Kickstarter campaign right now that ends in about 10 hours from now. So if you're listening online, head over to Kickstarter to that link that I posted there so you can check it out. There's all different levels of pledging with all these different packages. You know, you can get the deck. You can get the deck and the incense. You could get the deck, the incense, the phone app, and also there's a scarf, too. We didn't even talk about the scarf. He makes scarves. Paul Miller just blew my mind today. But now it's time to talk about our featured stone, Alexandrite, which can also blow your mind, really, because this is a very unique stone. And let's talk about where the name comes from. You know, the Alexandrite is actually named after the Russian Tsar Alexander II, who lived from 1818 to 1881. And it's the very first crystal. It was discovered in April of 1834 in the emerald mines near the Tokovaya River in the Urals. And that discovery was actually made on the day that the future czar came of age. So it has definitely a noble history. And it comes in, it shows these colors of red and green. And those were the principal colors of old imperial Russia. So it inevitably became the national stone of Tsarist Russia. It's kind of a very, you know, the very top quality examples of Alexandrite are really rather rare. And you don't really see them too much in modern jewelry. You do find them in antique Russian jewelry. If you have a little luck, you may come across them because the Russian master jewelers really loved Alexandrite. And even Tiffany's master gemologist, George Frederick Kunz, back in the 1800s, early 1900s, was really fascinated by it and produced a beautiful series of rings for Tiffany at the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th century. And occasionally you'll find it in Victorian jewelry from England as well. The thing that's probably the most amazing thing about Alexandrite and why people were so excited about it is that it has this feature that is its surprising ability to change its color. So from this green or bluish green in the daylight, Alexandrite turns to this sort of soft shade of red or kind of a purplish red or even kind of raspberry sort of color in incandescent light. And it's kind of that unique sort of optical characteristic that makes it actually one of the most valuable gemstones when it comes to like the finer example, quality examples of Alexandrite. And, you know, it is kind of scarce because it has this unique chemical composition. Basically, Alexandrite is a crystal beryl. And, you know, that's a mineral, you know, kind of consisting of that it's sort of yellow or kind of transparent, sometimes even colorish, you know, colorless kind of crystal beryl. And with Alexandrite, the color changes in it. And that's how it differs from other crystal beryls, because not only like other crystal beryls does it contain iron and titanium, but it also creates chrome. It also contains chromium as a major impurity. And it's that chromium that is what creates that really amazing color change, you know. So that's what people look for. And that's what you should look for. If you're looking for Alexandrite, you know, the real Alexandrite is the one that changes color with the lighting, you know. So, you know, in a sense, you know, given the discovery in the 1800s, you could call it like one of our younger gemstones, even though, you know, really, you know, emerged millions of years ago in a metamorphic kind of environment. But unlike a lot of other stones that were you know, coming into being at the time, you know, it did require very specific geological conditions. And so the chemical elements of beryllium and chromium, you know, don't generally, as a rule, occur together. But they did, when they do occur together, that's when you get Alexandrite. So, and these are kind of contrasting rock types when you think about it. So it's really unusual for them to come together. But the other thing that really makes it special is that Alexandrite lacks the chemical element of silica. And you know from listening to the show, silica is, you know, probably the second most common element in the Earth's crust. It's everywhere, you know. But this being lacking in Alexandrite is what actually prevented it from growing into an emerald. As you know, as we said, you know, these were first discovered in the emerald mines in the Urals. So that really unusual kind of scenario that happens is how Alexandrite crystals come into being, and also why they're pretty rare. Now, you know, for a long time, Russia remained primary source of Alexandrite, you know, since they came from those specific mines, and that's the way they became available on the market. And there was a point where the Russian deposits were thought to have been, you know, depleted. And so the interest in the stone kind of diminished, you know, as the availability decreased. But now there are findings of Alexandrite from other places as well. Starting in 1987, Alexandrites were discovered in Brazil, in the famous Minas Gerais in Brazil, discovered in a place called Hematita. And the Brazilian Alexandrites, which, you know, you may be more likely to find an Alexandrite from Brazil. And it does have a distinct color change, and they've got good clarity and good color, but it's a little bit, you know, of a duller shades of green and red. You know, they're not as strong a green as the Russian Alexandrite was, but you can definitely see the color change happen. And, you know, another thing too, a few other places it has come into being lately too, and has been discovered from sources in Sri Lanka. And again, you know, the actual like color hue of the stones isn't as brilliant kind of as the Russian Alexandrites were. And they're more of a brownish red when they do change color in artificial light. Tanzania also has do some great specimens of Alexandrite since about the mid-1990s, and it's also been found in India, Burma, Madagascar, and even Zimbabwe. So there are now, you know, a availability of Alexandrites on the market. You know, it's obviously, you know, the more, like with a lot of stones, you know, the more distinct the color, and with Alexandrites, the more distinct the change of color, the more valuable or expensive the stone is going to be. So those are just some things to kind of keep in mind. It is an incredibly fascinating stone just to look at and just to wear. Oh, wow. I love this. I'm just checking out the chat room here. And Alicia Velasquez, you have some wonderful things about Alexandrite. The Christmas jewel. I love that, you know, because of that green and red color. You know, so it's fascinating in the folklore of it, and also, you know, the kind of, you know, composition of it and exactly how it comes into being. And we can also talk a little bit about, you know, how would we work with it metaphysically, you know, because we're always interested in that as well. And the thing that's kind of interesting about Alexandrite is because it changes those different colors, it's thought metaphysically to have a sort of regenerative power to it. It's said to enhance the rebirth of both the inner and the outer self, and help us to expedite the changing of our world so that we can kind of bring things more easily into manifestation, to become more expansive, to increase our creativity. And to me, those aspects of Alexandrite are really what, you know, kind of reminded me of you know, our guest today, Paul Miller, because he is so creative and talking so much, created this deck for manifestation. And so it seemed so fitting to talk about Alexandrite on the same show. And it, you know, Alexandrite is definitely said to be very conducive to the art of manifestation. It can also help you in centering yourself, reinforcing self-esteem, and help, you know, kind of increase your ability to experience joy and to acknowledge and to appreciate the interconnectedness of everything around you, of nature and of the world around you and the people around you. And also, you know, not just that, but it can also be used to help in the alignment of your mental, emotional, and etheric bodies to help create a more balanced emotional state. You know, in the East, it's actually regarded as sort of a magical gemstone that brings good fortune to the owner. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, physical healing, and again, you know, anytime we talk about physical healing with crystals, I like to put out the disclaimer that, you know, use this as complementary medicine, if you will. Use this in connection with getting the proper diagnosis and care treatment if that's required from a licensed medical professional. But that being said, alexandrite has been used in the treatment of disorders from anything from the spleen to the testicles and pancreas, and has been said to help in the regeneration of neurological tissue on the cellular level, to help with diseases of the nervous system, and to treat disorders which are associated with things like leukemia, especially, and also to enhance the assimilation of protein. So all of these kind of things are really amazing. And also another thing that I thought was kind of very helpful with alexandrite is this idea that it is said that it can be used to help one to return to the origin of time and to connect with the beginnings of one's development. So I think that, you know, it's a great stone for kind of being able to really connect all the dots and, in a sense, you know, see that there is kind of a rhyme and reason to how your life is going. Because I think a lot of times, you know, we talked about that a little bit with Paul, with the idea of synchronicity. You know, and I think a lot of times we feel like, you know, are we on the right path? You know, am I going the right way? And sometimes we have to kind of retrace our footsteps to see that we are. So I think that can be one of the benefits of working with alexandrite, is that you can kind of connect the dots in your life and see that where you are, you know, 9 times out of 10 is exactly where you're supposed to be. And, you know, when it comes to working with things, you know, we've talked a lot lately about the idea of working with the chakras. And, you know, Paula talked a little bit about chakra balancing and how the chakras play a role in his new oracle deck. You know, with that red-green color, you can also think of it in terms of you using it to work with the heart chakra and also the root chakra. If we use the sort of modern color correspondences of the main chakras. So that's something else to think about. And one other thing that it kind of brought to mind for me is making that connection with the heart and the root chakra. Because I think a lot of times, you know, we don't think of we might think of chakras like 1 through 7 and in that order, whether we go up or down the order from the crown to the root or from the root to the crown, but we don't make those little connections in between. And oftentimes I think that's where a lot of really great opportunities for healing and sort of ironing out issues can occur. And speaking of that, I wanted to also mention, you know, that you guys should check out the latest video from Walking in the Mist on YouTube. Where if you look for Walking in the Mist, misspelled MYST, Jason Spillman's show here on Attune Magazine Radio, that's going to be coming up soon here on Attune Magazine Radio this month. But also there's a video version too. And I did a Google Hangout with him and with Jennifer Seek of Sacred Bracelets and Intuitive Counseling. Intuitive Tarot Counseling, I think, is her website. And that's on YouTube now. You want to check that out, because we talk all about the chakras and chakra balancing and how crystals can be helpful with that. And we had a lot of fun doing that, too. It was my first Google Hangout. You know, it's a time of firsts. It's my first supporting a Kickstarter campaign with the Revelations Oracle cards. And also I did my first Google hanging out with Jason Spillman and Jennifer Seek. So I hope that you are seeking out new adventures and having some really cool firsts of your own in your life as well. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for today's show. I want to thank all of you for tuning in, whether you tuned in to the live show or whether you listen later in archive here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can always check out the radio archive for any shows you may have missed on theresarockforthat.com. Be sure to tune in next week. We will have another exciting adventure here on There's a Rock for That, and that will be, as it always is, next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 3 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Mountain, 1 p.m. Pacific, and for all of you in the rest of the world, it's whatever time that is for you. I never quite figured that out, but I'm sure you guys know what time it is, right? You know, wasn't that a song? You know what time it is. Back in the day. Anyways, I wish bright blessings to you all, and I hope all of you enjoy the rest of your week. I will see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.